We have been doing a series on Route 66, and if you're new to this church and this is your first Sunday, we are talking about Route 66. The Bible has 66 books, and if you want to go to your final destination, your destiny, then there is a way, there is instructions when you read those 66 chapters, 66 books. So we are looking at that today. Today we're looking at the writings. The Bible, the Hebrew Bible, is divided into three sections. The first one is the law, the second one is the prophet, and the third one is the writings. So we have done the law and the prophets, and we're going to look at the writings today. God's going to do great work among us. He's going to speak to us. And I want your heart and your mind to be open. The table is set before you today. The body of our Lord that was broken for you. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. I want you to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because this church belongs to the Lord Jesus. Always remember Santa Clara First Baptist Church, that this church belongs to God. This is the house of the Lord. This is the church of Jesus Christ. Don't look at anybody. Do not give your allegiance to anyone. Not to the pastors, not to the youth leaders, not to the board, not to anybody. Don't give your allegiance to anyone in this church except the Lord Jesus Christ. Always be focused on Him. And if we get that right, then the church of Christ will always be alive and well. This young man went to jail because they were fighting in high school who is the strongest, and they were slugging it out. And they took a knife, and the guy stabbed him at the stomach. And as they were falling down and the blood's coming out, the other guy came from behind and stabbed, and it punctured the lungs. And as they were lying down there, that classmate put that knife in his hand and ran away. The friend died because of the second stabbing. And so he went to jail. He was framed. He went to jail. The jail, he came out, and then he got into a wonderful relationship with a young girl. And then they found out that he had cancer. So he's going to die in like 3 months. So he's very sad, and he's talking, why me? Why I go to jail? Why did I go to jail? Why am I having a cancer now? Why am I going to die now? You know, why do I have this miserable life? He's crying and talking and angry. And then his friend said to him, why not you? What's so special about you that this should not happen to you? Should this happen to your mom? Do you want to let these things happen to your mom? The husbands were not good. The husband abused the mother all the life. The son died at a young age. Do you want this to happen to your mom? We think that miserable things always happen to us, and we think it should happen to other people. Why me? Why me? See, and why not us? What's so special of you that you should be exempted from all the pains and suffering of this world? The writing talks about this humanity. The writing talks about the humanity. The writing talks about the question that they have to God. It's the suffering. It's the cry of human being. And the journey of misfortune, being suppressed and living in slavery in foreign country. The writings are Ezra, Nehemiah. Those are the writings. Right? Psalms is a writing. Proverbs is a writing. Ecclesiastes. Songs of Solomon, Songs of Song is a writing. Lamentation is a writing. Those are clubbed as writings. And there are two poetries. That is Ruth and Esther. Those are the writings. So you look at the writings there, it's Job questioning to God. Or more so his wife, right? Job is a writing. It's a literature. So when misfortune fell on Job, what did his wife say? Curse God and die. Curse him and die. If you want to encourage men, you should go to your wife. Right? Okay. It's like, and the wife say, I'm so angry at you. Right? I'm so angry at you. What does that mean? Translation, encourage men. Men, if you don't understand, it means I still care about you. See? I'm so angry at you, it means I still care about you. You know? And then, you make this mistake again, you never listen to me. Right? How do you translate that? Huh? You know? I still root for you. If you listen to me, you can do this. I know you can do this. See? That's an encouragement. But you should be worried when you make a mistake and your wife don't say anything, then you should be very worried. That's the time you should be worried. You're not getting any encouragement there, right? As long as they share the emotions to you. It's like, curse God and die. His wife is protective of Job. So this shouldn't be happening to you. You're a good man. I know you're a man of integrity. Why is this happening to you? But Job talks about it. So when you look at Ezra and Nehemiah, the writings begins with Psalms. The first book on the writings is Psalms. Okay. But let's just go from the sequence. So if you look at the... let's lump it up. If you look at Ezra and Nehemiah, they're coming from exile. They are coming back from Babylon to build the wall. And the enemy has encamped Nehemiah. Enemy is coming to destroy this Israelite. It's the story of how God intervened and worked with the people to build the wall. Let's take the book of Daniel. Daniel is the only book that has some direct divine inspiration from God. Except Daniel, all of them are about human story. Daniel is the revelation of the Old Testament. It's apocalyptic. Talks about the coming king, Jesus Christ himself, the Son of Man. Right? But if you look at Job, if you look at Proverbs, they are the literature. They're the wisdom traditions that we have. And the Song of Song is a great love relationship between God and Israel. Because when you read the Song of Songs, you wonder, why is this in the Bible? Because they describe the physical relationship of a man and a woman very vividly. But it's not about man and woman. This is about God's relationship with Israel. Okay? And Psalms talks about the temple worship, celebration, suffering, and dealing with God intervening in our lives. We want to look at that. And I found that for me, Psalm 23 captures the writing for me. Psalm 23. And I want to share Psalm 23 with this story today. Right? In Psalm 23, begins with, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. How do I relate that? See, David was he take care of sheep, so he understand being a shepherd. But for us today, for me, the Lord is my leader. He is my leader. He is my CEO. He is my president. The Lord is my leader. I remember vividly the day I gave my life to Christ in a camp. Among the tall trees, pine trees. And the camp leader is talking about the gospel and asking if there's anyone that would like to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you can stand up and follow. And we were sitting under the tall pine trees, and there were dry leaves everywhere, and the sun was shining bright. And if I move, I can hear the cracking sound of the leaves because it's dry. And I was thinking, I shouldn't move. I don't want people to know that I give, you know. But something prompted me, and I stood up, and I can hear the force of my feet on those leaves and cracking thing, and people are, who is this guy standing up? But I stood up to say that I followed the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. He is my leader. Jesus is my leader. Who do you follow today? Who is your leader? Jesus said, come, follow me. Are you following the Lord Jesus because you really love him, or are you following for your own convenience? And if you read Psalm 23, it's very interesting when you read John chapter 10. Right? So go back to John chapter 10, and in verse 11 it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. See? It's like Christ is talking in a new way in his context, Psalm 23 again. So I'm the good shepherd. Who is your shepherd this morning? And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not want. Jesus is my provider. He supplies my need. That's why I shall not want. There hasn't been a time in my life that God has not provided for me. I can't remember a time, a moment that God has not provided for me. Food, clothes, shelter that God has provided for me. And he fulfills our needs. Let me ask you a question. When are you in most need? When are you in dire straits? Think of the time that you were in need. And were you close to God at that time? Or you were trying to get and fix things on your own? What I have noticed in my life is, when I'm closest with God, he gives everything that I need. But when I'm trying to make it on my own, then I struggle a lot. Because my sufficiency should be in Christ, not in our ability or our earnings. Take, for example, giving tithes and offering to the Lord. And you say, I'm not going to give tithes and offering this month because I really have a lot of bills to pay. You will notice that's the month that you struggle the most. At least for me. But when I say, oh, okay, I'll give this portion to the Lord, it belongs to God, it seems like my $100, even though it's the same, it seems like it's stretching. And I'm able to meet the needs of the month. That's me. That's for me. I don't know how God deals with you. Because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. My sufficiency is in the Lord. When you read John 10, verse 10, it says, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I came so you can have life abundantly. It's not talking about overflowing of wealth, money, and gold. It's about the peace and contentment that you have because you dwell with the Lord. And the next verse in Psalm is, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He led me beside the still waters. Right? How do I translate that for me? Jesus is my shelter. When we moved to California from Midwest, even before we moved, one of the conversations that we have with the search committee And one of the search committee members brought this up when we were having dinner and Thanksgiving last month at Gary and Karen's house. Wonderful meal, by the way, Gary. Yeah, I enjoyed that meat. Yes, yes. He said, one of the things that struck us is, so you're going to move from Midwest to California where real estate is like exorbitant, is out of this world. How are you going to come and survive here? And I say, if the Lord calls me here, He will provide. Which I believe that. So when we came here, what did God do? Through all of us together as a church, God provided a house for us in Santa Clara. He is my shelter. See, He is my shelter. It says in John 10 verse 9, it says here, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. See, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Lead me beside the still water. That's how God is working with me today. Daily life, encountering with the real God in the real life, in things that we care about. Let's go to the next verse in Psalm 23. It says, He restore my soul. He restores my soul. How do I translate that for me? He is my redeemer. Jesus is my redeemer. And this is true for Ruth. Let's go back to the writings. Naomi went from Bethlehem and went to the Moabite Moab country and dwelt there. And her husband died. She had two sons, married to Orpah and Ruth, and both the husband died. Now there was a famine in that land, and so he wants to go back to Bethlehem. And she said to Orpah and Ruth, I don't have any child in me anymore to provide you a husband. You stay back in your country and worship your gods and be with your family. Orpah said, okay, Naomi, I love you, but I'm going back, right? And Ruth said to Naomi, but no, let me follow you. Let me come to where you live. Your God will be my God. For me, that is important. Ruth chose to worship the God of Israel. Your God will be my... Where you are buried, I want to be buried. Your country will be my country. So this widow, two widows, went back. And how did God redeem? God redeemed Ruth by bringing Boaz. And Boaz, the rich man, married Ruth. It's a story of redemption here. And who is Ruth? It's the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he is redeeming. What situation you are in, God can redeem you. Let's take for Esther. Esther's pretty. Pretty woman, no father, no mom. Who is the guardian? Mordecai. At that time, Haman, the general, wanted to kill all the Israelites, the Jewish people. Ahasuerus married Esther. Mordecai worked together. And she went to the king, her king, and said, your general Haman's trying to kill all my people. How did God redeem Israelite? Hearing the story, realizing what his general is doing, and Hazar issued a decree to save Israelite. That's redemption. That's redeeming people. All of us sitting here can have the story of Ruth and Esther. Having injustice in our life, going through suffering, being lost, taken everything away from you, your sense of dignity. And you're asking God, why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? But it was God who used those people to redeem his people. your situation or where you are today has nothing to do with God's plan of redemption. You think that if you have everything in line, if all everything in your life is working out, that you can be a great man and woman for God. That is not true. That is not the qualification for ministry in the kingdom of God. What is it? It's your brokenness. It's your contrite spirit. It's your availability and humility before the Lord. Don't be beaten down by the enemy, Satan, by telling you that, oh, you don't have this job, you don't have this family, you don't have this house, you don't have these friends, you don't wear these clothes, you don't have these skills, you can't sing, you can't play, you can't play sports, young people. I don't fit in anywhere, I'm no good. Why me, Lord? But God used Ruth to be a grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. God used Esther to save her people. If you are in that place today, this morning, you are a perfect candidate for God to do extraordinary things. He restores my soul. He's my redeemer. That's why in John 10:10 it says here, I've come that they may have life. That you will have life. Let's look at the next verse in Psalm. It says, He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Jesus is my guide. He is my guide. He leads me in the path when I don't know where to go. See, I met the Lord when I was young, but when I was in college, when I was 19, that's how I had a real encounter with the Lord God. The first time I had a real encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ was when I was about 19. So we're having a camp for a church, the entire village, and I'm one of the youth camp counselors. I'm going there. I'm standing on top of a mountain. The church is on top of the mountain. And on top of the mountain, when you go near the cliff behind the church and you look toward it, there's like unending mountains. And I can look toward Burma because it was at the border of Burma. And you can just look and it's just never ending. And I said, Lord, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about my salvation. I don't have the assurance of my salvation. I want to hear from you. I'm just sitting there and praying. The sun's shining on me. I'm sitting like, I hope I don't fall down here. But see, the mountain's like this. Oops. Yeah. And I'm sitting on a cliff like this. I'm looking toward the mountain, the green mountains, the sun, and I'm praying, Lord, please, I want to feel you. I want to feel you. I'm not sure of my salvation. I need something. And I was just praying. And I closed my eyes, praying. Then somebody came by my side. You know? It was one of the speakers of the camp. And he said, what's wrong with you, buddy? And I said, I've given my life to Christ, this testimony that I shared. But I need the assurance of my salvation. Oh, and he was excited. And then he opened the scripture. And he shared to me about like First John 1:9. If you confess your sins, God is righteous to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift is eternal life from God. You know, those kind of things. And I had such presence of God. It's like the Father hugging me and telling me, yes, you're my child. That's the experience that I had with God when I was 19 years old. The first time in a very real way, God talking to me. I can feel Him talking to me. In John 10 verse 5, it says here, the shepherd calls his own sheep by name. He calls his own sheep by name. He knows my name. God knows your name. Even if your classmate doesn't know you, God knows you, young people. He knows you by name. The next verse in Psalm, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Jesus is my Savior. He's my Savior. He died for me. One of these days, all of us are going to stand before the throne of God. All of us. Let's picture this together. Okay? Are you with me this morning? Yeah? You're with me? You're with me? Yes? Yes. So we're going to stand before the Lord, and this is going to happen. God's going to judge us. And he's going to see whether our names are written in the book of life. And we will be separated. If your name is not in the book of life, you will be in another row. I don't know how it's going to look like in detail, okay? So I'm just going to create something. So on that day, it says, Mike! And Mike comes, standing in throne, you know? And the accuser of the brother. Satan is known as the accuser of the brethren. And the accuser will come to God and say, hey, God, Mike belongs to me, right? And God said, no, no, no. I remember Mike. He gave his life to Christ in the youth camp. He goes to youth activity regularly. He professes his love for me, and his name is here in the list. It doesn't belong to you. You can't take it away from me. It's going to be an awesome day because he is my Savior. So when you go through the fear of death, many people are afraid of dying, my friends. We have the fear of death. But death has no victory and sting in our life because of what the Lord has done for us. He has conquered sin and death. He is victorious over sin. There is no sting of death. It's not because of what we do, what we have done. It's not because of who we are, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He died for us on the cross. He's our Savior. And in John, it says here in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10:11. He lays down his sheep for us that we can have life, that Satan will have no hold over us. Evil cannot touch us because we are children of God. Whoever follows the Lord Jesus Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit, evil cannot touch you. You belong to Christ. You're a child of God. It says here, you are with me in Psalms. You are with me, your rod and staff. Right? What does that mean to me? It means that Jesus is my deliverer. Now, what's the use of the staff? Okay? There are simple uses, and we'll talk about that. And Isaiah talks about coming under the rod of the shepherd's staff. Okay? So, when the sheep comes, the shepherd used the staff to poke the skin too, to look at what the, if there are any illness, disease, insects, bites, whatever, he used with the staff to look at that. See? He's looking at the health and the shape of the sheep. How healthy it is. Is he in good condition? So Isaiah talked about this, and Isaiah said that all of us will come under the shepherd's staff. It means the measurement. Looking at the integrity, honesty, our heart and attitude before the Lord, whether we love God or not, we all will come under the shepherd's staff. So your rod and staff, you're with me. The other use of the staff is what? Is for support. The shepherd can lean on it. Used to fight the enemies or the bears and lions or other, you know, use it to go along the way. Lean on it. That's who Christ is. He makes us well because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He cleansed our illness, sickness, because of what He has done for us on the cross. And when we are going through difficult times in our life, who can we lean on? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Right? We know that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know that song. Yes. We take our sorrows to Him. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You take it to Him because He is our friend. That is who we are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Because He is our deliverer. And in John 10:16 it says here, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd." One shepherd. Because you're with me, your rod and staff. He's going out to fight the enemy, to bring the sheep back to the fold. And He's doing that daily for all of us, for humanity. And what does this rod and staff do? They comfort me. They comfort me. For me, Jesus is my comforter. He is my helper. He is my teacher. He comforts me. He teaches me in the way that I should go. And in John 10:14-15, it says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father know me, and I know the Father." We were having a devotion this week, our family devotion, and our reading is God knows His own. God knows His own. And when we read, especially Sarah, because she's 4 years old, we ask her to listen to the story so we can ask her what she get out of the reading. So, as we are explaining about the penguins, right? Penguins, when they, the male penguins keep the egg there, when it hatches, they go out to get food. There are, what, like 100,000, even a million of penguin chicks, I don't know. How do they know which one is his little baby girl or boy, right? They recognize by the voice. By the voice. The same thing with Sarah. I can recognize Sarah's voice among all the other kids. Oh, that's Sarah. And if I'm coming, there are a lot of people. If I call out Sarah, she's going to recognize my voice as a father. The same thing with many of you, your children, your daughter, like Haley. You can recognize their cry, their laugh, because they are our own. God recognizes our voice. You think that God cannot recognize your cry? He does. When you cry to God, alone at night, in the afternoon, in the morning, in your workplace, and you think nobody can hear your cry, God recognizes your cry. In fact, the Bible says that each tear is collected in the bottle. That's a remembrance. Your tears are remembered by God and collected in a bottle. You think that God cannot hear your voice when you ask Him because you're in need? Let me tell you this morning, God, our good shepherd, recognized your voice because you belong to Him. The writings is our story. The writing is my story. The writing is your story. You can identify with Job, Ruth, Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, Daniel. You can identify with them. You can find yourself in those stories. They comfort me. You prepare, the next verse, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Jesus is my protector. Look at Daniel. In a foreign land, when they have issued a decree that they should worship only the ruler of the land, They found Daniel looking toward Jerusalem and praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he was thrown into the pit of the lion because of that. But he did not become a meal for the hungry lions. In fact, the Lord prepared a table for him in the midst of the enemies, that Daniel will resurrect from the lion's den to rule Babylon. That is preparing a table in front of my enemies. The enemy is coming at you the moment you open your eyes at the speed of light. Wham! The moment your feet touch the floor in the morning, life is coming at you at the speed of light. And you're thinking, can I go through with life today? Can I go through with life today? Can I face my colleague? Can I accomplish this work? How am I going to pay the bill? Is my job secure? How's my relationship with my wife and my husband, my children? Do they love me? Do they hate me? What is my place in this church? I can't find meaning in life. All those voices are coming at you at the speed of light. But if we are with the shepherd, even all those things are coming from left and right, from the front and the back, God can set a table for you of peace, joy, contentment in the presence of the enemy. Because he is our peace. He is our peace. You as Daniel. You as David. You as Peter. Why were they able to sleep peacefully in jail, even though they thought that they were going to be killed? It's because God is with them. This verse in John 10:29 is very nice. I like it. It's a beautiful verse. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. When your name is written in the book of life, when you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, even if Satan tried to pluck you away, he can't do it, because you are secure in the palms of the Father. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Jesus is my joy. This verse came from the practice of the shepherd anointing the head of the lamb for killing diseases. When you anoint it on the hair, it comes down in the hair and smoothen out and kill all the disease, or the flies or the fleas, whatever is there. It's practice from there. My cup run over. For me, Jesus is my joy. He is my joy. He calls me my own. When he recognized me, when he answered my prayers, when he come when I feel forsaken and lonely, don't you feel elated and lifted up? Jesus is our joy. That despite all the struggles that are going, challenges that are present in our life, he created this space of joy in the midst of storm for us. He is my joy. He is my joy. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So it says in Psalms, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because Jesus said here in John 10, I lay down my life for the sheep. The goodness and mercy hangs on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. All this goodness and mercy and grace follows us because God has shown kindness and goodness to us from the beginning. God loves us while we were yet sinners. And this is great. The last sentence in Psalm 23. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is my eternal life. Look at John 10. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. What is your ultimate destiny? What's your ultimate goal in life? What is the most important thing, important dream that you have in your life? For me, my ultimate goal and dream and desire in my life is to live with God forever. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with God in heaven. That's my ultimate destiny, final destination. Everything that I do and live for is leading to that. But before I get there, there are lots of struggles and challenges, pain, sorrow, tears, hurts, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. But God rounded up in the writings. Job, all his sons were taken away. 3 daughters, 7 sons. God gave him, right? He doubled the camels, the oxen, the sheep. He doubles the helper in his house. Job was the richest man and the greatest man in the East. And Satan said, I can let him curse you if he didn't protect him. And God said, okay, but don't touch his life. Did Job curse God? No, he did not. He said, why shouldn't bad things happen to me? And he endured the suffering. And God blessed him double portion. Double portion. God is our rewarder. He provides for us. Psalm 23. The Lord's my provider. I shall not want. You read all the story. Ezra, Nehemiah, Ruth, Esther, right? Daniel, and the lamentations, the tears of people in exile. It's our story. All those stories has one focus. They all want to be delivered, and they were looking for the Messiah. That Messiah is here this morning with you and I.